scripture, verse number 5. This is a missions giving passage of scripture, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter number 9 particularly. Speaking about the poor churches of Macedonia that gave in a great trial of their affliction to the, in this case, a love offering to the church, the first church of Jerusalem that was going through a great trial and was in need of mission support. Verse number 5, and we've already stood for the reading of the Word of God, but I'd like you to read with me, please, verse 5 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, and reading together. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice the phrase, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, the word gave. Notice in verse number 4 that we would receive the gift. We want to speak for a few moments that we have this morning on the first day of the week, this morning, on the why and how. The why and how of giving. The why and how of giving in regards to missions. Let's make our prayer. Heavenly Father, now we ask, Lord, there's been much preparation that's gone into this just one service, these few moments. All this past week, we have endeavored to please you and to, Lord, come together as a body of Christ. We've learned much about missions, but Lord, this is a new day. This is a new week. Lord, this is how we begin, Lord, the rest of our lives. This morning, this may be, Lord, maybe the last service that someone in this room, the last message that they'll ever hear. So, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would take your word, use it in our midst together, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every Christian, every child of God here understands that the word believe is a biblical word or biblical concept that's foundational to all of Christianity. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and preaching is a foreign concept, biblical preaching is a foreign concept. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again, Jesus said. If you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but believing on him, it's not enough just to believe on him up here. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. It's not enough to believe up here. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said it very succinctly, ye must be born again. Christianity, there is a biblical belief, and we believe in believing, don't we? And yet you'll find the word believe or believing in all of its forms only 177 times in the scriptures. While every Christian is comfortable, and most people have no problem coming to a Christian church and hearing the subject of believing, and we understand that it's very basic. Yet when the preacher begins to talk about giving, people get very nervous. We mentioned earlier on this week, when you're talking about money, people get funny. And the fact of the matter is, the word giving, however, in the Word of God, in all of its forms, we read two of its forms here in verses 4 and 5, is found some 1,376 times in the Bible. That's 7.5 times more than we find the word believe. You see, giving originated in the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the first missionary. He sent his Son to die for your sins and my sins. So a Christian believes in giving. There is no true believing without giving. There is no true thanksgiving without giving. Later on in 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 15, the Bible says, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I have a simple two-point outline this morning I want to share with you very succinctly from our title, the why and how of giving, or the why and how of missions giving. Number one, why do we give? Let me give you three principles of giving this morning, three reasons why we give. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice verse number 1. This is a missions passage speaking about the poor churches of Asia Minor, of Macedonia properly, the church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica. And this is an admonition given to the most well-to-do church in all of the New Testament, of course, that being the church at Corinth. And it was a plea for this missionary giving to these people in Jerusalem. Notice what it says in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to understand, of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Why do we give? Reason number one. We give to show our gratitude to God for the blessings of the past. We give to show our gratitude to God. Why should you give of your tithes and offerings at the local assembly of God, at the local church of God? Well, these Macedonian Christians, these local churches, gave to show their appreciation and gratitude for God for his past blessings. It says that it speaks about the grace of God bestowed upon them. And these churches of Macedonia were not near as well-to-do. They were not near as wealthy as other parts of the of Asia Minor and of Europe in general, especially of Corinth. And yet they received the grace of God that was bestowed upon them, and they knew it. We give to show gratitude, verse 4, the grace of God in our life. Where would you be if it was not for the grace of God? Well, you would not be, period. For by him we live and move and have our being. By divine permission, your heart is taking its next beat. We are here by his pure, unadulterated grace. The grace of God. The grace of God, these Macedonians understood this, that they had been recipients of God's wonderful, matchless grace. Not only the grace of God in our lives, but they had been bestowed the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One day, these Macedonian Christians, they understood that their feet were in the miry clay. They were lost. They were on their way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, came by way of a missionary. They heard the gospel. I remember I had a missionary family. I didn't know they were missionaries. Mr. Latigo worked at General Tire, Northeast Ohio there. Mrs. Latigo, they'd been going to church since time began, it seemed like. Their young son, Bob, got bored about having to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all by himself. So he started calling me up and asking me if I was the heathen boy down the street. He asked me if I wanted to come and go to that little country Baptist church. We'd get in the car, we'd drive 11 miles through country roads. We went there one night on a Friday night, having been invited, an old-fashioned preacher. He probably was in his 60s or 70s. As a young boy, I thought he was about 114 years old. He preached an old-fashioned message on a place called hell. He preached that you must be born again. That invitation was given, just as I am, without one plea. A little boy came forward, 11-year-old boy I was at the time. I came forward, the preacher took me to his back office, sat me down, I didn't know one book from the Bible from the other, and that day, I received the grace of God. I received salvation in Christ. I was born again. I was saved. I received that gift of God, of eternal life. You see, when we give to show our gratitude to God for the blessings of the past. But the second reason we give to prove our priorities in the present. Notice what it says in verse 5 again. And this they did, speaking about these Macedonian Christians, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I believed that God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for my sins, that he was buried, he rose again the third day. And I was recipient of his grace. And having been bestowed the grace of God in my heart, I cannot, and you cannot, if you've truly received the grace of God in your heart, you cannot help but give as it's been given unto you. The priorities of the present, they didn't give. And if you're here this morning, please, please, I'm trying to help you this morning. You say, that guy's preaching about this. I'm not preaching about this. I'm preaching about this. Yes. God wants this. He wants your heart. He doesn't need your money. If he gets your heart, he'll get, you'll give the money that he's already given to you. The priorities of the present. You see, they gave themselves first. We're really not talking about missions giving here this morning. We're talking about missions living. They gave themselves as a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants your life. We give ourselves. And then when we give ourselves, verse 4, we've already alluded to it, they gave not only of themselves, but then they gave of their gifts. And the Old Testament focused, the Old Testament focuses on percentage. We have the law, we have the tithe, we have the tenth. The New Testament focuses on proportion. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, in verse number 8, it says, I speak not by commandment. We're not talking, and this church does not support. Some churches do, and that's the autonomy, the self-government of every local church. I'm not speaking in any local, any other local church this morning. I'm speaking to the people of Loomis Park Baptist Church, and I understand that you understand that the tithe belongs to the church. Your preacher already said that. I speak not by commandment, not by Old Testament commandment. Or, and I believe the tithe supersedes the Mosaic law, of course. The scriptures teach the principle of the first fruits all the way back to Adam. But Paul said, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, I'm not speaking about commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, New Testament focuses on proportion. How much do you love me? It's not a question of how much does God love you. He loves you forever and ever and ever. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loved you, and he loved you so much. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. When Judas, the betrayer, came and kissed the Lord Jesus, the first words out of Christ's mouth were friend. You see, hallelujah, what a Savior, a friend of sinners. He died for you and me. What a God we have. We give to prove our priorities of the present. We give to show our gratitude to God for the blessings of the past. But thirdly, a third reason that we give is we give to express our faith in God for the future. Glance over to chapter 9 quickly. Look at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. There's the law, the principle of the sower. You sow little, reap little. You don't sow at all, you don't reap at all. You sow much, you reap much. But the word of God says, this is not commandment now, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth, there it is, in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly. For God loveth, of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Understand that God tells us that he wants us to give lovingly, cheerfully, not of necessity, to prove the sincerity of your love. We give to express our future, our faith in God for the future. We could take time to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Many of you can quote it. Let me start it, and you that know it by memory can begin to quote it with me. But my God shall, what? Supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know we personalize that, and we take that, and we use that verse to as a promise to ourselves that God is going to provide for all of our needs. But you study that passage of Scripture, and that passage of Scripture was given to a missions-giving church. God said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a biblical principle, give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. And so why do we give? We give to show the gratitude to God for blessings of the past. Why do we give? We give to prove our priorities in the present. Why do we give? We give to express our faith to God for the future. Our God shall supply all of our needs. In the times of good times and the time of recession, our God is still on the throne. Why do we give? We see the principle of the giver, question number two, in just moments that we have. How do we give? You say, how do we give? Or the practice of the harvest, if you will. The New Testament church is the storehouse that God has, the conduit that God has given. We said at the outset of this week, and I love your theme, keeping the home fires burning. God has a plan A to win the world to Jesus Christ, and it's through the local New Testament church. And he needs no plan B. This plan has worked. This plan will continue to work until he comes again. One of God's great institutions. It is the institution that God has ordained to win the world. Just as man cannot improve on God's divine plan for the family, one man with one woman, no man can ever improve upon that. Joined together for eternity, forever, that's God's divine design. So even so, God has a divine design to fulfill the Great Commission. Baptize converts, disciple them, and it's through the local New Testament church. But we ask this question, why do we give in regards to missions? We have the giving by commandment. Then we have the giving by faith, or what some might call grace giving. Let me give you five ways as you pray. And now I'm speaking to the membership of this assembly that understands and that they have an obligation, a duty, responsibility, and also a privilege to give to world evangelization. Five ways. First of all, number one, may I instruct you, the Word of God instructs us in verse 4 to pray fervently. Lord, what would you have me to give? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Pray what God would have you to give. Have you prayed about what God would have you to do for a period of 1 year? Notice verse number 10. It says at the latter part of verse 10, but also to be forward a year ago. Later on in chapter number 9, and speaks in verse number 2 in regards to them in Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago. Your Faith Promise Missions program is for a period of 1 year, I understand, beginning on the first Sunday of May. Lord, by your grace, what would you have me to give? What would you enable me to give as a demonstration of my love? And for men and women, boys and girls, for the lost around the world to come to know Christ as Savior. Pray fervently. But then, chapter 9 and verse number 7, we've already alluded to it. Participate cheerfully. Might I say it this way? The Bible says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Some of you might know that in the Greek language, that is the Greek word that we get our word hilarious from. And people that know how to give with a happy, a hilarious, they're so joyful that the world cannot understand. You say, I don't get this stuff. Why? Why would you want to give? Well, when you know that you've received so much, when you've been given so much, then you begin to understand why you want to give. And it's I like to call it this way, God says that we are to participate cheerfully. It's a happy hurt. It's a sacrifice. Ooh, ouch, that hurts a little bit. But boy, it felt good. You see, we pray fervently. We participate cheerfully. Thirdly, we participate systematically. And back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse number 1, I'm not going to wait for you to get there, but the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day," that happens to be Sunday, "upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Don't store, don't hoard. You give as God gives, and then God will give more. Participating systematically, then fourthly, how do we give? We participate proportionately. Back in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 9, we've already read verse 6 again. We can sow, we want to reap sparingly, we sow sparingly. We want to reap bountifully, we reap bountifully. But notice verse 10. It says, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Oh, give bountifully. We're not asking, and the Word of God does not teach, by the way, a form of communism. It teaches community. It doesn't teach socialism. It teaches distribution by love. He that has little gives what he or she has. He that has much gives what he or she has, as the Lord has purposed in their heart. And then, lastly, in a fifth way, how do we give? You say, what's the instruction and how do we give? Well, we pray about it. Give it cheerfully or don't give it. Give it systematically. Give it proportionally as God has prospered you. So give. But then, fifthly, wait expectantly. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 one more time. Second Corinthians chapter 9, excuse me, verse 8. "And God is able." Hey, please don't be hypocritical, but if you believe that God is able this morning, say amen. Amen. God is able. God is able to save you to the uttermost if you'll come unto him. There's never been a sinner yet that if they came with a heartfelt repentance, they came to the cross of Calvary, that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever turned away. He said, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." God is able to save you this morning. God is able to keep you from falling. Thank God for the grace of God. God is able to provide all of your needs. God is able to allow you to give and for you in turn to give back. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. See that ye abound. 2 Corinthians 8 says, "In this grace also, the grace of missions giving, may we abound much." So today, and trust God for tomorrow. God will take care of you. God will provide. God will bless. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and then your pastor's going to come, and he's going to give you instruction in regards to what God would have you to do in regard to world missions. But maybe you're here this morning and maybe you didn't know, or maybe you forgot that God is able to make all grace abound to you, that he gave his only begotten Son. You can be saved today if you'll humble yourself and come to Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.